Many of you know that I love the arts, and obviously we all like some arts better than others, all right? We might like one style of music better than another. We might like one type or one era of art better than the other. We may like one poet over another poet. But the important thing about the arts is that the arts get to us in a way that regular lessons can't. They say things to our hearts, and they pull at us from the deepest levels of who we are. That's why even our liturgy is seen as us making an opportunity to enter into what we call the liminal space or the threshold space. Because when we can get into that threshold space, God can get at our hearts a little bit differently than he can when we just sit down and read a catechism book. It's a different process. It works a different way. And I believe in submitting myself to the arts regularly, even if I can't go do it in person. I need to submit myself to them so that my heart can get stretched and pulled, so that my soul gets stretched and pulled, so that my relationship with God stays pliable. Now, our readings this evening are some good examples of people plying their best craft to kind of clutch at our souls, to try to make some difference. Isaiah, even though he writes a lot of poetry, this time is singing a song. Now, I would say that the genre that Isaiah is writing, probably from the looks of this, would be closest to what we have as country western music in our own day and age. All right? Would there be a country western song if people had not had their hearts broken at some point in time or another? Probably not. And that's what Isaiah is writing. He's writing a ballad. He's writing a country western song about how his heart's been broken by what he sees from the people of God, and how God's heart is broken because the relationship is on the rocks. God says, "What could I do for my vineyard that I haven't already done for my vineyard? But yet what I gave them to grow, they've grown only the opposite of what I asked for." And so God says, and at one point in time, symbolically so, God did for us. He let us get wiped out. Think back to the first three chapters of Genesis, okay? Which, you know, you stop and you look at that and you say, that's our salvation history over and over and over again. We're created and it's good. God gives us paradise. And what do? We mess it up. We take the one thing we're not supposed to take, and then we lie about it, and then we have to cover it up. And then after we've covered it up, and how does it eventually end? In fratricide, one brother killing another. Ultimately, what does God decide to do? He decides he's going to just wipe the whole thing out and start over. But after he does that, God seems to change his mind. And he looks at it and he says, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Isaiah's song is finding it hard to believe that God wouldn't do it again. Our psalm today, again, basically is crying out for God. Reconsider the vine that you planted. Don't turn your face away from us because we've made a mess of it. Anybody give me a cogent argument that does not apply in this day and age? We've made a mess of it. But you see, the arts also call forth from us reason to hope. And so Jesus, in telling his story, okay, his parable, he's got them where he wants us. Jesus is the master storyteller. And again, stories are liminal food. They bring us to the threshold because they work on us a completely different way than just a lesson would. Okay? Now, in this context, Jesus is telling this parable. And if you're like me, the last few weeks, you're probably tired of listening to the parables because he's been pushing us around a lot with these parables. And he sucks them in one more time. He pulls him in one more time as the master storyteller. Because he tells the whole story, again, paraphrasing Isaiah, book of Genesis in mind, I'm sure. He's just entered Jerusalem, and the people have met him in triumphant crowds. And now he's been in the temple, and they don't like the way he's preaching and what he's teaching, and so they're plotting to kill him. And now this is the story he tells. Once again, about the vineyard owner. And in there, the vineyard owner, this time the variation, the third time the vineyard owner says, I'm going to send my son. My son they'll respect. Now remember, they're plotting to kill him. And Jesus just pulls him right into his literary story trap. The master storyteller, he says, so what do you think the owner of the vineyard is going to do to those tenants when he comes? And they give the logical human answer. Well, he's going to put those wretched men to a wretched death. And then he's going to lease out his farm, you know, his vineyard to the tenants who will give him what he's due when it's due. And Jesus is probably standing there as the great storyteller going, gotcha. Because that was a human answer. That wasn't God's answer. You see, Jesus changes the end of the story because he looks at his listeners and he says, did you never read in the scriptures that the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone? And then he reminds them, he says, by the Lord has this been done. And it is wonderful in our eyes. Jesus sings a song of hope, even in the midst of the mess, even with his life about to be ended, he sings the song of hope. And that's why I have hope. Because Jesus reminds me that God is going to take from the mess and make it work. We have to take heart in that. If we don't, well then why in the world would we ever get out of the bed in the morning? We ought to just pull the covers over our head and stay there. Or crawl in the rock and crawl in the hole and pull the rock over our head. That's why I hope in my students. I hope that all the ones that I've taught through all these years will make this world a better place than I've been able to make it. I hope that they catch fire for the gospel even more than my generation has done it, because my generation needs a little help. God is the one who does those things for us. And that is our reason to hope. That God will not reject the vine. That God will not close off the heavens and not allow the rain to come down on the vine. That God will indeed give us reason to hope. Because God can create from the mess again, a la the book of Genesis. Allah, our salvation history. Allah, his parable in tonight's gospel. And there is our reason to hope. So a lot of times Paul gives very didactic lessons. But in tonight's reading, he spouts a little bit of poetry. And again, I hope the poetry takes us to the threshold. Because the poet in Paul says to us, and if we could just do this, it'd be a huge step, I think, in fixing some of the world. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And then the God of peace will be with you. My friends, let us sing a song of hope.